Welcome to Candidates Corner. My name is Kelly Murphy, and I am a resident of Bedford, and I'll be your host for this episode. I'm here with Catherine Rombo, who is running for town council in Bedford. Thank you, Catherine, so much for joining us.
Thanks for hosting today, Kelly. I appreciate it.
I am so excited to see that you're running for council. Tell me a little bit about yourself and what brought you to Bedford.
Sure. A couple of years ago, my husband had an opportunity to take a position up here in New Hampshire. I am from Connecticut originally and was very excited to be back in New England. We're both attorneys. I'm an attorney with a large labor and employment firm. I practice from home, so my practice was portable. I was able to take it with me to New Hampshire. So when we were looking around the state and considering where we wanted to be, we looked at a few different towns that had good school systems because we have two daughters. We have a kindergartner at Riddlebrook and a preschooler at New Morning School, and checked out a few towns. And it was clear really quickly to me that Bedford was the place that fit us best, that felt like a small town that had a lot of resources and had a lot going on, both business-wise and just programming for families and a wide range of residents. It felt like it was moving forward in a way that other towns didn't necessarily feel to me when we were visiting. So I was excited to get up here. Bedford has felt that way to me since the moment we got here. And I knew I wanted to get more involved in town once we were settled and our kids were a little more settled. And I think one of the biggest challenges a place like Bedford faces is maintaining that small town feel while still harnessing the larger resources, the larger, the busyness that we rely on and that we appreciate, but don't want it to take away from the residential feeling of the town. So that was what motivated me initially to get involved. There's a lot of commercial development and management still to address in town. And I think we have to be thoughtful about the choices we make in the coming years.
You said that you're a labor and employment attorney. Tell me how your professional expertise plays in to help you should you be elected to the council.
Sure. I generally or largely represent management side clients, large institutional clients and corporate clients, which I think would serve me well in the sense that I have diverse constituencies, lots of different people involved in any given client. Most of the employment litigation matters I handle are disputes over contracts, over terms of hiring, employment terminations, wage and hour disputes. But they're also often about individual managers, not just a faceless corporation, and how to manage the most productive employment environment. So I think it's a combination of managing disputes where emotions run high often, and you're, even though you're working for a large entity, like a town, you're working for individuals also who are trying to make the best decisions they can, and you're trying to help them make good decisions for their employees, but also delving deep into the nitty-gritty of contracts and handbooks and statutes and regulations and making sure that your clients are sticking to law, you understand who's bound by which laws, and fixing problems as they arise and trying to make sure they don't happen again in the future.
And people don't often realize that the town council spends, I would say, a good 70% of the time doing contractual review, yeah. Reviewing union contracts, reviewing contracts with department heads, reviewing documentation that's got to be submitted to the state or presented to the public. A lot of RSA review happens, especially when the bill filing period is open for the state legislature so that we can confer with our legislative body, make suggestions, advance initiatives that would be appropriate or would help the town. So it's sort of critical mass for us to have people on the council that are familiar with that kind of level of review.
Yeah, and our firm is really on the forefront of advising government officials who are considering new legislation, what the impact of proposed legislation might be, working with different clients to understand new legislation as it rolls out. So we're constantly working to summarize in a user-friendly way what's going on in new employment law developments. So I think that translation function is important, too, to be able to drill down into the details of contracts and bills, but also be able to message that to the folks you're working with, and in this case, getting across to residents in town what those developments might mean for them.
Now, you mentioned that Bedford's in a unique position where it is sort of a larger populace. It's one of the larger communities in the state of New Hampshire, yet it's still operating like a town with a small town feel, and you can walk into the grocery store and run into your neighbors, which is always nice. How do you think, what are some of the unique challenges that you think that Bedford is facing in the coming years?
Well, there's, I think, two ways to divide it up. There's sort of there are hot button immediate issues. I think that a lot of folks in town are talking about things like water safety and water usage, cell phone developments, zoning designations that for certain projects immediately. There's also longer term issues in terms of new department heads needing to be hired in coming years, what their vision for the town is in terms of managing, executing the town council and other communities' visions for the town.
Let's start with the shorter term issues, because I think that those are the ones that are really on the forefront of voters' minds right now. And those would be, in sort of any order you want to take them, really the PFOA issue in towns, the water contamination issue. Also the second water issue, which is the drought that we've had over the past summer. And people have had experiences with wells drying up in town and very serious concerns about water supply in the town of Bedford. And then also the cell phone tower.
Okay, start with PFOAs.
Start anywhere you want.
Then I think that the council is in a really unique position to educate and advocate for residents on water safety issues, any of these topics we're going to talk about, truly. But right now, obviously, we are still evaluating properties that are affected by with the water contamination. It's a moving target to some degree.
It is, because test results are still rolling in.
Exactly. And it's not an exact circle that's going to keep moving. It shows up in spots around the surface. There can be different impacts in different neighborhoods, potentially. And I appreciate that there's been a really full effort to alert residents to have their water tested. We need to keep pushing for that, make sure folks know that we're continuing to monitor it. I think residents need to know that the town is going bad for them and pushing on Saint-Gobain to remedy the problem in a way that's acceptable to the town. There are different ways to remediate here. And right now we're sort of in the first phase of a temporary fix with bottled water for some families, and there needs to be a longer term plan. And it's probably going to require some vigilance and pushback. And even though it's not always in the council's role to execute, it is in the role to advocate and push for the town.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you view that the council's role in this to sort of just vigorously advocate for...
Yeah, exactly. And keep residents in the loop as that's going on. I mean, I think that's one of the biggest challenges for any town board is to get the information out there to that residents know that the town is on top of it.
We actually we do weekly updates,
right?
Meeting by meeting, so bi-weekly updates.
Right, and I feel like I'm well aware of what's going on, and I think there's been a lot of different media approaches to getting the message out there. But it's going to be a long-term address, I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, another long-term issue that we've been dealing with over the summer is the drought in town. What are your thoughts on what Bedford needs to do? How do you feel about the voluntary water ban that we put in place?
And as you said, this is not an issue that's necessarily going to go away anytime soon, and a lot of communities are facing it. I think one of the challenges with whether it's a voluntary ban or whether we move to enforce a mandatory ban is a perception, whether it's accurate or not, a perception of being applied even-handedly. And I don't think we all always know that different businesses or different neighborhoods could be on different systems, that there are different limitations suggested or applied. So when you drive down the road and you're not watering your lawn, but you see a business out watering its lawn, that's frustrating. Or you are not watering your lawn, your neighbor's watering their lawn. And that's the challenge with the voluntary ban, obviously. You're asking for folks to turn to their better angels. But I think we have to be mindful, too, that enforcing a mandatory ban requires other resources in terms of what we're asking our police department to do or how we intend to enforce. So again, I think that these are discussions will have to continue to evolve, but I think you have to get everybody on the same page. So if we're going to enforce the ban, people have to understand that they're not being asked to do something their neighbor's not being asked to do, mm-hmm. and that it's a long-term problem. Just because your well's in good shape, somebody else's, you know, it, just because it's your well doesn't mean that the water problem doesn't exist for all of us. So I think it requires a full community approach.
Absolutely, because it could potentially not apply to you today, but could apply to you the next day, which is why it's definitely concerning and worth monitoring. And a lot of what the council does is monitor what's happening at the state level.
Right.
So that decisions can
And I appreciate it. I know when there has sort of been the message boards, electronic message boards have been up, throughout town and during high drought periods, and keeping everybody aware of current status. And I think that's very helpful. And I think, you know, we need to continue with those sorts of efforts.
Now, there are two, I know we had touched on one of them previously, but there's actually two issues right now that are gaining a lot of traction and discussion in the town. And the first is, of course, the repeated proposals that the council has received from cell tower groups for the Chubbuck Road site, which is, of course, right next to Riddlebrook School.
Right.
What are your thoughts on, cell phone tower plans or approaches in the town of Bedford, and how would you intend to handle that if you were elected to the council?
My takeaway in recent weeks, learning more about the issue and talking to more folks, is it's a lot more complicated probably than any of us realized at the outset. I think it's very easy to realize you don't want a cell phone tower in your neighborhood. There are a lot of people that don't want a cell phone tower in their neighborhood. And so then we have to talk about where the cell phone towers go. And so I think that the council has a unique opportunity here to really encourage the town to step back and take a comprehensive approach to talking about properties in a commercial area that would be appropriate for cell towers. Because as many folks are learning, if a private resident is interested in putting a tower on his or her property and is approached by a company, the town needs to have an alternative to propose before they can just necessarily strike that private property owner down in terms of installing the tower. So we need to, I think, pretty quickly talk seriously about what are there appropriate spaces in our commercial areas that would reach the dead zones and provide the appropriate coverage, but that would keep them out of residential neighborhoods. And I think that applies for all sorts of concerns. People are worried about home value. People don't want to see the tower. They're worried about being near schools. And this goes to the larger issue of how do we protect our residential neighborhoods. And while recognizing we have a really vibrant two vibrant commercial corridors that we can use and should use appropriately.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think that you're hitting on something that's really important for the council in the coming years, is not just with regard to the cell phone towers, but really with regard to long-range planning, which we'll get to in a little bit, but sort of taking a comprehensive look and a step back and really deciding where the pieces of the puzzle fit mm-hmm. before just starting to glue them down on paper.
Yeah.
Now, tell me, there's a measure on the ballot, a zoning amendment, to mm-hmm. change the zoning of several parcels that surround sort of the Bedford Village Inn area. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with that amendment?
And I've talked to some folks in town who are affected more immediately by it, potentially, and also just other residents who have concerns about what it means for any neighborhood, potentially, in town.
What is the feedback that you've been getting? What are your thoughts on
the feedback? The issue? Is that it's alarming to folks that they might not know that their neighborhood could change dramatically in terms of dense development that they did not anticipate when they bought their property and staying in their property in these residential agricultural designated areas that abut commercial properties. We need to have predictability for residents when they buy their properties, when they stay on their properties, that there will not be an easy flip to a different designation, or that even within their current designation, that there could be potentially other than single-family housing developments. There are certain exceptions even within the residential agricultural designation that would allow for more density on those properties. I don't know that everyone is aware of that. And I think when something like this crops up, as it did, and this is, I think when, I'm not sure that anything else has come up just like this in recent years.
No.
And it's gotten a strong response, and it's going to be on the ballot, although, I think that it sounds, from what I understand, that the response was so strong that actually they wanted to take it off, but were not able to get all the signatures off to remove it from the ballot.
That's correct.
So hopefully everyone will read their ballot carefully when they vote, and that there will be a notation, I believe, that the town is not supporting that, that the zoning board is not supporting
not the, support of the, yes.
the change. But it all goes to the larger point of planning ahead so that we have a more comprehensive approach. Are we sticking with our two main commercial corridors and not putting residential neighborhoods that even abut those commercial areas at risk for sudden changes? Because I think the big thing is we don't want to be reacting constantly. Mm-hmm. We don't want to be making decisions on a one-on-one basis or case-by-case basis all the time. Because I think that really leaves people feeling uncertain. And that certainly doesn't drive people to think, you know, Bedford is a place that they want to invest and stay in if they don't know what's going to happen to their property.
Right. And it's a premier community. I mean, Bedford is always spoken of as a premier community in the state of New Hampshire and really in the New England area.
Right.
I think that Forbes magazine a couple years ago voted us the best small school district in the nation.
Yeah. So, and when I was thinking about this, I'm running because I think Bedford's great. I think it's a great place to live. I think it's a great place to have family, to stay longer. I tend to be here for a long time. But towns don't stay great or get better unless you work at it. It's not a static position. And it requires a lot of vigilance, I think, in this instance, because it is a big town. There are a lot of amazing businesses in town, but it's easy to allow creep to occur.
Absolutely. And so let's talk about some of the long-range planning, succession planning, building planning. What do you view as some of the issues that are going to face the town council over the course of the next 5 years? And what would you bring to the table to help work through those issues?
So I'll take them in the order, I guess you mentioned succession planning. My understanding is that there will be a number of, or there will be potentially some change in department heads going forward, as people who have been here a long time may not may retire, may not be here in coming years. And so what do we talk about in terms of the folks we bring in to replace that? How do they work together as a team with the town manager? I had the opportunity yesterday to spend, over an hour meeting with the department heads and with Rick Sawyer, our town manager, and it was great. I was really informative. I learned a ton, and I also got the sense that they worked well together as a team. And that just seems so crucial in our hiring going forward or our decision-making about, who comes on to that team. Relatedly, it's a fairly lean team, and when we lose people, other people have to step into the gap. So we need to be proactive in making sure we keep a full team.
Mm-hmm. I think we also need to be proactive in making sure that we train potential successors.
Right. Especially when you have somebody who's been there a really long time, who knows everything inside and out, to have a new person come in, can be a difficult transition. So you need to make sure that you're given the opportunity, right, to make that segue smooth.
So you said you met with the department. It sounds like you've done a significant amount of homework to prepare yourself for being candidate for this position. Have you looked at the minutes of prior meetings and you've read through those?
I've been trying to read through the materials, but also I'm really appreciative of how many folks have made themselves available to me during this initial part of my candidacy. I've had lunches and coffees and drinks and meetings, and everyone on the council and, as I mentioned, the town department heads and residents who are active in some of these issues we're talking about with the cell phone towers and the commercial zoning, residential zoning issues. Everyone's been willing to talk to me, and it's made a huge difference in my understanding of the context, and it makes it personal. Mm-hmm. And you can see how these issues touch people's lives in a real way in a daily basis. So it's not just the minutes. It's important. I think it's important for me to understand the process as well as the personal impact.
Absolutely. It's easy, I think, to get lost in paperwork sometimes and forget that these are real people whose lives are being affected by the day-to-day decisions.
And you know what? None of us really care sometimes about what regulation applies or who has the authority we think to fix it. People want to know that someone's on it to fix it or address it.
Absolutely. Especially with something like the PFOA crisis.
Exactly.
They want to know that they're going to get the best solution for their families.
Right.
So tell me what else you think is facing the town of Bedford long term.
Facilities are obviously something we're going to be talking about, I think, in the next couple of years. I understand that there is a comprehensive facility study that will be underway through this year.
We just funded a comprehensive facility study in this budget.
So looking at where, if we're using our space efficiently, where we need space, I understand that fire and police departments are, you know, using their space, every inch of it. And I know that there have been several attempts or discussions, well, more than discussions, about the substation potential down on South River Road. We haven't reached that point. You know, town has not decided that we were ready for that yet. But I think it's a conversation that's going to have to continue, especially as we see increased calls. That's a busy part of town that uses a lot of our services. So from an efficiency standpoint, making sure we can get emergency services to folks where they are in that part of town is really important. You know, we have town properties that we need to look at how we can use them. And if there are other spaces we're not using as efficiently, think about how we can move things around a bit.
Absolutely. I think it's a challenging time to be on the council as far as long-term planning is concerned, but it's also a very rewarding time because we are on the cusp, truly, of evolving into a different sense of community here, mm-hmm. and the planning is going to be critical to that. So tell me a little bit more about you. Where did you grow up? Where did you go to school?
Okay. I grew up in Connecticut. I actually grew up in a town that maybe this influenced my choosing Bedford, reminds me of Bedford. They have a lot in common in terms of they've grown a lot. I'm from Madison, Connecticut. It's near New Haven, but it's grown a lot, but has worked really hard to maintain a town feel and is very proactive in terms of its town leadership and zoning discussions. So I think that's informed my sense of you can make a difference in what your town looks like in 10 years. And my family's still there, and so I get to see the impact of that, which is nice. So coming back up to New England, as I mentioned, for my husband's job was a welcome return. I was in Philadelphia for 10 years before that when I was practicing as an attorney down there, generally labor and employment law, as I mentioned. I went to Amherst College in Massachusetts. So I haven't strayed too far, I guess, from my roots up here. But, you know, moving to New Hampshire has been really fantastic. I've met really good people here really open people in Bedford. And, you know, when we moved up here, I practice from home. So it's a large firm, has offices all over the country, but I work from my home office, which has been wonderful because I've been able to be involved with my daughter's schools. I have flexibility in terms of being able to volunteer for activities, use my day in the way that suits best for the most part, which I'm grateful for. But I didn't know anybody. And so we got here. I got very involved with a local running group. Moms run this town. She runs this town now. It's changed names. But there are, I would say, a couple hundred people probably in Bedford alone, actually, in the group now. And it's given me an opportunity to meet a huge cross-section of the town and different families and different neighborhoods. It's actually led me to run through pretty much every neighborhood in this town, which has given me a lot of insight in terms of development, different issues different neighborhoods are facing. I mean, the northwest quadrant of town has different development issues than, you know, mm-hmm. when you're close to the Manchester border.
And it's almost like different towns.
It is.
The way that it's laid
out. And, you know, running through those or walking through the streets and talking to folks in the neighborhood, you get a real sense of that. And so I'm grateful that it was an unexpected way to connect to the community, but it's been a constant for the last couple of years.
And you've been here for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. Now, when I moved to town, I lived here for only 2 years before I ran for my first office in town, which I think also brings some unique insight because you can draw on past experiences from where you've lived and mm-hmm. also bring sort of a fresh set of eyes to the town.
I think so. I mean, I like to think so. I think it gives you fresh perspective and means that I have an idea about what I like about Bedford in the recent years that we've been here, but I don't have a fixed sense of how Bedford has to be or was. I think it leaves, I hope, some open-mindedness going forward. And it means that I reach out to folks all the time and ask a lot of questions because I'm learning every day here.
And that's really, at the end of the day, that's critical mass. People want to feel like when they elect someone to office, that person is there to listen to them,
yeah.
to their fears, to their hopes, to their concerns and questions,
yep.
and advocate on behalf of them to be more of a vessel and less of someone with a fixed set of priorities
right.
coming into
and
office.
And I feel like that's one of the best opportunities town council has, and use as well now, as I see it, but it, to be this conduit for residents, even when it's not a town council execution, but to be an advocate, to educate, to communicate with the town. I think that the council is doing well, and I think there are ways we can continue to expand that. Because, you know, I think families that you hear sometimes, families with young kids like mine who are newer to town, maybe aren't always as involved in town governance because they have busy schedules, and I understand and stuff. But I think the council right now has a pretty diverse, is a growing diversity of perspectives on it. I think it's great because I think you can reach more people in town that way if you have people at different points in their lives, different parts of town.
Absolutely. And it's certainly refreshing to have, you know, it's refreshing to have different viewpoints on the council
yep.
to really get a sense of what's going on in the town and what different individuals and groups are thinking and mm-hmm. feeling. We are getting close to running out of time, which is surprising.
Oh.
I feel like I could talk to you about town issues all day.
You're right. You said it would pass quickly.
I did say that. Could you wrap up a little bit and just tell people why they should come out and vote for you on... Now, the town election is on March 14th. Mm-hmm. It's 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. at Bedford High School. That's a Tuesday. And then the following evening, which is very important, is the budgetary town meeting. And that is Wednesday. And it's also at Bedford High School in the theater. So those are two extremely important dates, Tuesday, Wednesday, March 14th, March 15th. You vote on the 14th, and then you come again, and you vote at the budgetary town meeting on the 15th. Tell them why they should consider you as a candidate for council.
Okay. Well, before I finish, I just want to say thank you for inviting me here and for hosting. I decided to put my name in for this because I felt like it was important to volunteer now when my family's going to be here for a long time and have a lot of opportunity to take advantage of what Bedford has to offer. And I feel a responsibility to help shape the town and to talk to everyone around us about what we want going forward. So I think the combination of my perspective here as a parent in town who's concerned about some of the health issues, or wants to stay on top of the water and the cell phone issues, also my experience as an attorney, I think will allow me to drill down into the details that, you know, can be really thick and dense to wade through. And it means that I know how to stay on budget. I think a lot of the things we're talking about today are not necessarily about spending more money. They're about planning, and they are about prioritizing, and they are about communicating and making sure that residents have a body that's advocating for them. So I think, I hope that you'll see that is my combination of professional experience and personal investment in the town makes me a good candidate, and then you'll vote for me.
Thank you very much.